Hi, and welcome back to the Mission Minded Podcast. I'm Jim Tingler, along with John Spinn.
Good to be here, Jim.
Well, it's always good to be with you here in the studio. We just wrapped up the podcast.
Yes, we did.
So tell us a little bit about Kim. How do you know Kim?
Well, we didn't know each other growing. Well, obviously, there's an age difference, but he grew up in the same small town that I did in Central Illinois, town of 5,000 people. And when we found out that iTech was going to Liberia in January of 2017, my parents said, "There's a guy that you need to talk to." And I didn't know him, but my parents forwarded me one of his newsletters, and then he ended up coming the fall of 2016 to the Global Missions Health Conference in Louisville. We got to meet him and sent some students to our dental training, and that's kind of where things... I'm actually hoping to see him next week when I'm in Illinois for Christmas.
Nice. The rest is history.
The rest is history.
And you guys went to the same high school.
He did not graduate from our high school, but he grew up there, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And his dad lives in the neighboring little town called Sheldon, just a few miles down east of us. So
it's a great story, and you've shared plenty of stories from Kim, just a man walking by faith.
Amen.
And just God showing up in ways that only he can. So he shares a little bit about that, but there's always more stories. So as we get started each week, we've liked to go to the mission quote of the week. So, John, did you come prepared with one today?
Well, today's comes from the renowned theologian Bob Dylan. And you're going to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody. And so, seriously, as we hear his story, everybody is giving their life to something. And a lot of what we would call success in America is really idolatry. And I think you're going to hear a story of somebody, you know, thinking about David Platt and Radical, about is the subtitle of the book, Reclaiming Your Faith from the American Dream. I think you're going to hear a story of, you know, somebody who has forfeited what America would say is success in order to obtain, you know, that which will truly last. So.
Yeah. No, it's great stuff, and really honored to have Kim on the podcast today.
Yes.
So, well, let's get right to it.
Welcome to Mission Minded, the podcast where we explore outside-the-box thinking in carrying out Christ's Great Commission. On this week's episode, we are joined by missionary Kim Smith. Our sponsor for today's podcast is Dignity Roasters Coffee, locally roasted and packaged by the distressed to fuel each day. Dignity Roasters was born through a passion to partner with the distressed and the desire of bringing the universally loved beverage of coffee to your hands. To order your own coffee or to learn more about Dignity Roasters, visit their website at dignityroasters.com. Now here's your host, Jim Tingler and John Spinn.
Hi, we're back on the Mission Minded Podcast. We're here today with a special guest through the World Wide Web. John, would you mind introducing the guest today?
Yes, this is Kim Smith. He's calling in from Ohio, but back home in the States. And good to have you with us, Kim.
It's good to be here, John and Jim. Good to be here.
So, Kim, if you wouldn't mind, maybe give a little bit of an intro on yourself, where you're working, maybe who you're working with.
I've been in West Africa for 12 years. I started out in the refugee camps in Ghana. I would visit the refugee camps for about 5 years, and then I moved into the refugee camp and lived there for a year. And then from there, I moved to Liberia, and I've been in Liberia 11 years. Lord put it on my heart to go to Africa. He called me when I was about 8 years old. I remember it well. I was in a church, and they had a missionary show up and talk, and I just felt the Lord put it on my heart to be a missionary, and I went forward and prayed at the age of 8, and it never left me.
Wow.
And so the Lord opened the doors for Liberia.
Well, tell a little bit too. I mean, you started out when you were going to Ghana, you were going on your summers, correct? You were a teacher. right? And you had your summers off.
High school teacher. Yeah.
Okay. And you were, so if you could just tell a little bit about that, I think that's also pretty unique that, you know, just kind of.
And not only that, not only that too, I think just to give a context, Kim, how old are you? And, you know, just for people might understand it, you had this calling at, you're 63, but you had the calling at 8 years old. Okay. Sorry. Yeah.
63. Still young for Florida standards. Still young.
I went to Africa when I was about 45, something like that. So you can get a calling at the age of 8 and not walk in that for, you know, 30, 40 years.
Right. I think that's important for listeners, you know, to just understand, hey, this isn't something that, you know, right out of high school, this is the trajectory I went on. You were in a whole different career and life. And so, sorry, I'll let you get back to it.
The Lord put it on my heart when I was a high school teacher that he wanted me to go to Africa. And I didn't know anybody. I didn't know a country. I didn't know anything. But as the Lord worked it out, he had me go to a refugee camp. And I didn't know anybody. I didn't go with a mission organization or with a team. I just contacted a refugee in the camp, and I told him I was coming, meet me at the airport. And so I just kind of showed up. And interesting story, when I showed up and I'm walking through this refugee camp of 45,000, I'm asking the Lord, Lord, are you in this? Or is this me? Is this my thing? And so I'm walking through the camp and all the kids are running and hiding from me because I'm a white man and because they're traumatized. Except one kid, he's 10 years old. He kept running up, he ran up to me and said, white man, white man, white man, and jumped in my arms. Well, I got to tell you where I was born. I was born in a little town called Kankakee, Illinois. The only town in the world with that name. It's a local Indian name. That's where I was born. And when that kid jumped up in my arms, his shirt said Kankakee baseball. And so how'd he get that shirt?
It's a town about the size of Ocala. I know, because it was
the Lord said, I just want you to know you're created for this. And so, you know, when you have the confirmation, you can go through any trial and suffering. You can go into the furnace with the confirmation. And I went right into the furnace, and I'm glad I had the confirmation.
Well, and, you know, your story, you know, we grew up in, you know, rural central Illinois, small towns. And I think that's another thing that, you know, listeners maybe can relate to of, you know, what you said about just showing up and, you know, so how did you, you know, tell us how you got from, you know, you started out going in the summers and then that, tell us about that transition of, you know, from moving and living in Africa full time and tell us about that journey.
Well, I learned that the Lord loves sacrifice, and sacrifice increases faith, increases fruit, increases intimacy with the Lord, separates us from the world. It produces joy and contentment and fulfillment. And I discovered the Lord loves sacrifice. So when I came back, this refugee camp was atrocities. People had to pay for the water they drink. They had to pay to use the toilet. Everything cost, and they weren't allowed to work. And they're dying for 50 cents worth of medicine. They're hungry. They're malnourished. And so I came back, and the Lord said, send your savings. And so I sent all my savings the first year. And I imagine the Lord said, wow, that was fun. Let's do it again. The second year I come back, Lord says, now I want you to live as cheap as you can and put your bank account at zero at the end of every month. Give everything to the Lord. He's teaching me to live by faith. Third year, I come back. He said, give away what you own and get out of your apartment. Go find a place to live for free. And so I found an old man that I could keep out of a nursing home. And the family was looking for somebody to do what I was looking for. And so I moved in with the old man. I sent my rent money to the refugee camp. The next year I come back, the Lord says, now give up your job, give up everything, and go move in the camp. I had at least two near-death experiences in the camp. I came back after a year, and the Lord said, now I want you to move to Liberia. And so I have a life of the Lord increasing sacrifice, and I believe he's doing that for every one of us because of what it will produce. He would love for us to continually, in faith, step into sacrifice. It's for us. It's for the kingdom. And so that's one thing I'd like people to know.
I'd like to know, what were the near-death experiences?
Well, if you're Caucasian and you've never had malaria, the first time you can get it can be a near-death experience. And I had that a couple times, but I also had it with typhoid.
Oh, yeah. You had typhoid this June when we were there. I remember one of the dental trainees, the two of the dental trainees were the two ladies that were physician assistants. They gave you the treatment for that. I remember that during the week.
Last year, and for 8 months straight, I either had malaria, typhoid, or both. But when you got your confirmation, when you got your call, you go. We don't turn to the right and we don't turn to the left. If the furnace is required, we go. We do it with joy. We do it out of love for the people. Amen.
Amen. So, and it's obvious that you do have that love for the people. But what drew you to Liberia? And what is the state of Christianity in Liberia?
You know, the Lord put me in this refugee camp in Ghana, and it was filled with Liberians.
This would have been fleeing. They were fleeing the civil war, correct? Yes. It was in the 90s, yes. Correct?
Terrible, terrible civil war.
And we saw effects of that. Even, you know, just talking about the food supply and just, you know, I remember just when our visits there, just talking about the long range ramifications of that civil war.
Yeah. Right now, I've got in the trunk of my car prosthetic hands and arms from that war. And so I'm excited I'm going to be delivering those when I get back. So that's fun. So the Lord called me to go into Liberia. Liberia was formed by American slaves returning to Africa. And the main religions are animistic, Christian, and Muslim. The animistic is probably the highest percentage, and then Christian, and then Muslim. But the Muslim religion is growing quickly. There's five unreached tribes. If you go in the Joshua Project, you'll see five unreached tribes for Liberia. And one of our missions, one of our passions, is that we're training the indigenous people to go into these unreached tribes. And right now we have teams in four of the tribes. And the end of February, we will have indigenous missionary teams to all five unreached tribes. Wow. These tribes are, one of them, they say 0.00% Christian, none. And then 0.82% Christian, 0.02% Christian. So the need is great. And one thing we've found, you know, these are thought to be resistant Muslim tribes. But it seems to me it's not the tribe that's so resistant, it's the church. Because when we send teams there, they receive us 100%. They receive us with joy. They don't kick us out. We just had a team in Sierra Leone go to a tribe, 0.00% Christians. They're received with joy. They're invited to come back. They're coming to Christ. And that's only after a month. So those are some exciting things. There's a lot of Christianity in Liberia, but there's a lot of unreached tribes, five.
Well, and I think that's interesting, you know, something for the listeners to understand. You know, obviously, and this is an encouragement, I'd have anybody listening to go on the Joshua Project, you know, just, you know, when you think of Liberia, you know, West, anything, you know, sub-Saharan Africa, it's typically it's evangelized parts of the world, but right. Everywhere in the world, there's these pockets of unreached peoples. Yes. And so that's really one thing I've been, one of the many things I've been in, you know, really impressed with your ministry of your focus on the unreached and targeting, you know, these obscure, small, you know, tribes and even in some of the neighboring countries. You talked about Sierra Leone. I know you guys have a base in Ivory Coast, and you're trying to target those different unreached people groups within a country that overall is evangelized. But
right.
You know, and I think that one, you know, when we think about Acts 1:8, you know, that we're to be Jesus' witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So
yeah.
The ends of the earth for you and me is not the ends of the earth for everyone. And so, you know, that saying is everywhere is someone's Samaria, you know, that so just yes. You know, it's encouraging for me of you're coming alongside the Liberians, seeing that they are better equipped to reach yes. Liberians than we are.
And they're a lot, they're more fruitful. They can handle the suffering. And they don't cost near as much as an American missionary. We need American missionaries. Mm-hmm. I'm an American missionary. But our philosophy, mine as an American missionary, is to evangelize, disciple, raise up indigenous missionary teams, and send them out. And so that's primarily my mission. Amen. There's 393 unreached tribes in West Africa of 147 million.
Wow.
And right now we are a hub sending indigenous missionary teams to the unreached tribes. But we need to send out more. We have the trained people. We have the need. But we don't have enough finances to send them out into the tribes. There's 900 churches for every one unreached tribe. There's 78,000 Christians for every one unreached tribe. Hmm. Yet we have about one missionary for every 400,000 Muslims and unreached tribes. We have the resources. We have the command of Christ to go. We have everything except maybe obedience, but everything else, I believe we have it. Amen.
Well, it's not a lack of resources. It's the allocation of the resources, right?
Sure. We yeah. have the resources. We have everything necessary.
And Kib, that hub you mentioned, that's Word Sower Liberia.
Yes.
And so can you describe that ministry, how it got started, and maybe how people can find more information on that?
Yeah. I was a high school teacher. I wasn't a trained missionary. And I didn't go with the mission organization. Lord says, I'm a creator. Let's go. We'll have fun. And so I just showed up. There's a lot to that. Just showing up in obedience with the Holy Spirit, there's a lot to that. And so we started out walking from village to village, evangelizing and discipling. And then the Lord blessed us with a motorbike. We now have 20 motorbikes. We're in four nations. We go to 120 to 150 villages a month. we'll send out mission teams, 100 to 120 mission teams a month, and they'll go into these villages. We'll evangelize and disciple, and we'll train pastors. We also have a school, and our school is on our base. And in this school, we have four levels of training. Level one is the basic doctrines of the church. Level two is disciples making disciples. Level three is the church. And level four is going as a missionary. We really work on this Acts 1:8 that you mentioned, John, because we have them start out producing fruit in their community. That's their Jerusalem. And when they've proven themselves in Jerusalem, then we send them to Judea. Judea is getting on a motorbike and going from village to village. When they've proved themselves faithful and fruitful, then we send them to our missions, our indigenous missionary bases. They'll spend time there. That's their Samaria, and they prove faithful and fruitful and stable and filled with the Holy Spirit, then we send them out of the country. We have a team in Sierra Leone right now. We have a team in Ivory Coast. We have teams that have visited Guinea, but you know, we're still developing. 393 unreached tribes is a lot of teams we need to send. So we got a lot of work ahead of
us. Well, Kim, you have a YouTube channel, correct?
Yes.
And how would people find, what's your name of your...
There's different ways of contacting us and coming to know us.
I'd just like to see, for people to be able to see, you know, you had some people from your ministry receive the, what we used to call iFilm training, and you guys produce quite a few...
The film training.
Yeah. And and you guys produce quite a few videos every month, because I get your newsletters, and so, I mean, you have a YouTube channel, correct? People can go on YouTube and...
Yeah. So there's... you can go to Word Sower Africa, and Word Sower Africa, the YouTube channel. It's developing. We're still working on it, but I think right now we might have two channels and a few videos outside of those channels. But we have 30 of them, about 3 minutes long. We were trained by iTech, which is fun. And the Liberians are making these films. I don't know how to do it. And they're doing a great job. So if you went to Word Sower Africa on YouTube, you'd see a little bit about what we're doing. Most of the videos are 1 to 3 minutes. But we have a webpage. Our webpage is wordsowerliberia.com. And that's where we give our monthly reports. And so you can come to know us that way. Or my email address. My email address is kimlogansmith1957@gmail.com. So that's some contact information.
That's great. So where did the name Word Sower come from?
I knew another organization that we are united with, and I love the name. And so they gave us permission to be alongside them. And so Word Sower is, we're planting the Word of God. And Romans 10:2, Paul says, "My people have a great desire for God, but they don't have knowledge." And that's what we see in West Africa. People have a great desire for God, but they've never been properly trained.
So one of the things that I wanted to ask as well was, what are the main areas of ministry of the Word Sower Liberia and outreach? I know you're going into these different places, but what does that look like?
Well, one of them, iTech, first came in January of 2017. Jonathan came with his wife, Amy, and they taught a couple of our guys dental tooth extraction. And we came back, or they came back, and they did a great job. They've pulled 1,500 teeth since 2017.
Well,
they're
done.
Pulling
well
about
done, John.
30 teeth a month.
I didn't do anything. They nice
well, you did.
They
you
do
were
all
part
the
of the training, so good job.
So that's really exciting.
Yeah,
iTech has done a lot, and so they also came back in 2019 of June, and they brought three teams, the video team, and you'll see those when you go to our YouTube channel, also optical, and so we're. Testing people's eyes and finding out what size glasses they need and distributing glasses. And then we had some additional training in dental. And so those are some of our ministries. You know, we have compassion and love. Evangelism, discipleship, church planting is number one. But you can't be among the people without compassion and love. And compassion and love, it has to have action, not just words. So we have dental. We're pulling teeth. Again, I'm not pulling teeth. I don't know a thing about it. I don't know how to do the optical. But what iTech does, excuse me, what iTech does is that they train the indigenous people to do the work. And so we have these trained people, and they're very, very fruitful in it. Mm-hmm. Another powerful tool we have is Jesus Film. Jesus Film, in October, we showed almost 1,700 times.
Wow.
No, 1,700 people.
I said 1,700 times would be...
Yeah, sorry about that. What's great about the Jesus Film is when you go preaching and teaching, you might do a parable or a chapter of the Bible or a subject. But the Jesus Film gives the birth, life, crucifixion, burial, resurrection, and ascension all in one time. And so that's very, very powerful for us.
And the Jesus Film is in just about every language.
Yeah, I think it's like almost 500 languages.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
We
even
have
some of the more obscure
primary languages. And it's in every one of the languages. Yeah. We're fighting a war. And so you got to have many weapons. Another powerful weapon is we're teaching literacy.
And you had a group, right? You had a group from California that came and helped you tell. Yeah.
Valley Bible Church. And some at the beginning, some of these unreached tribes, the villages didn't have Christians and they didn't want them to come. But the Lord showed us the key. Everyone that said no said yes to the Jesus Film because they'd never had a big screen show in their village. And so they were intrigued. And everybody from all the villages around come. It's common to have 100 to 200 people. And so that's powerful. And then literacy. The villages that said no, when we told them, well, we'd like to come and train your adults in literacy and how to read and write. Well, everybody is begging us. So those are some of our ministries. Our bikes are like the cavalry of the Civil War. These bikes go out and we have a rainy season. And I hope you
I've seen some of the videos. Well, we've talked about sending a team out there for mechanical training too. Help your guys keep those bikes.
Well, keep the cavalry rolling.
Keep the cavalry rolling.
Yeah.
We're going to do it this year, 2020.
Yeah, things got complicated.
The virus just shut everything down.
Yeah.
But there was plans for iTech to return a third time.
Well, I think, you know, Kim, for us, you know, we our training is only as successful as the faithfulness of the people who receive it. So, I mean, and the reality is you can go on a trip and feel really good about, oh, you know, we had all these people that we trained and, but a year or two, 3 years later, what are they actually doing? And so I've been so encouraged, you know, when I read your monthly, I mean, I pay attention, especially to the dental section, but how many patients they saw and how many teeth they pulled and, you know, to see, you know, Stanley, you know, received the training in January 2017, and then to be able to come back last year and just to see where he's at. And now he's mentoring the two guys that we trained in 2019. And so just the, you know, the, to see the fruit of that. And so that's, you know, for me, that's, you know, that's what, when I'm speaking to a dentist, you know, about what we do, that that's the kind of thing that I point people to of, right. You know, this is fruit of, you know, look at what they're doing. And, you know, knowing that, you know, that you guys are also very evangelistically focused, that you're bringing people into your compound, you know, you're pulling teeth at the dental clinic, but you're preaching the gospel. And so anyway, I think, you know, just, you know, for us, you know, that gives us great encouragement of seeing people like your people who are really using, understand the purpose. And you know, you talked about the literacy training, that's not something we do, but I'm encouraged to hear of, you know, this group from California that came out and helped you, you know, because it, you know, we think about the second dental training that iTech ever did was in a part of India that was very resistant to the gospel. And a few months earlier, they had killed a pastor who had tried to come in and preach. And they went back a few months later with the dental skills, and the reception was totally different because you had something to the community. I mean, they need the gospel, but they don't see the need, but they definitely want, you know, whether it's literacy training or dentistry or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I know you guys have used, I know you've used the literacy training. You've also used the optometry up in the north. Is that correct?
Yeah.
To you know, try to reach out to some of those.
We have three of your eyeglass kits. And when I go back on January 29th, I'm going to hopefully bring another one. Every one of our bases, we want to have that available. Mm-hmm. So
I think it's important, too, to understand a context where there are no dentists.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I didn't understand. In a, you know, country like the United States, you probably got about one dentist per 5,000 people.
Mm-hmm. That's, I mean, you know, if there's less than one dentist for 5,000 people, it's called a healthcare shortage area in the United States.
So in a, you know, remote place in Africa.
In Liberia, it's about one dentist per, almost per million, right? It's five dentists for 4 million people.
It's easily 2.5 million.
Because I think there
are dentists. Is the only dentist serving 2.5 million.
Wow.
So I think that, you know, that.
So that's a big deal.
I mean, you had, plus. I think the numbers were, there were five dentists in Liberia, five professionally trained dentists in Liberia for, you know, 4 million people. And
yeah,
I think you had even shared that in your area, the nearest place where you get a tooth extracted would be $100. It's $100 US to just to get the bus ride there.
It just wasn't to get to a dentist, and people don't have money. Sometimes they'll pay us in chickens and we charge $5 to pull a tooth. And or you have to go to Monrovia because there's no dentist outside of the capital city. It can take 3 days and $80 to get there.
And the path of Monrovia is not like us driving down to Miami.
No.
Paved interstates.
No. Toll roads.
Typically, it will take us 15 hours to go 150 miles.
Makes me appreciate MAF.
Oh, yes. Missionary Aviation Fellowship, they are a big help, but they can't do all. We're still on those bikes, you know.
Yeah. So, Kim, would you mind sharing a little bit of your testimony? I know you talked about God's calling on your life, but there's a lot more to that story.
Amen. I grew up in a Christian home, you know, from the youngest of age, going to church. I went to a Nazarene college and studied theology because I knew the Lord wanted me to go into missions, but that was delayed. And when the timing was right, he sent me. And one thing I've learned, several things, but one of them is the Lord prepares you ahead of time. And he uses tragedies in your life as your best education sometimes. And so we don't look at tragedies as total destruction. We need to look at tragedies as education, because the Lord's going to use it. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he's prepared in advance for us to do. And I can see my whole life has been a preparation for missions. And he's brought me there. And another thing is just show up. The Lord prepares the people. I showed up untrained, not knowing anything. And the Lord had the prepared people right there for me. And when we send out our mission teams, they're prepared. Let me just tell you one story. If you want to Google General Butt Naked, B-U-T-T, one of the most evil warriors, a good friend of mine who's Christian now. And one of the most powerful strongholds of Satan was in a place called Pinestown. And General Butt Naked was from that area. I go into Pinestown, and these three men just start following me everywhere. I had to walk to Pinestown. I'd probably walk 3 or 4 hours. This is in the beginning. And these three guys just kept following me wherever I'm going. I'm thinking, this is, you know, what's going on here? One of them said, well, one of us had a dream that a white man was going to come to our town. He was going to have little blue Bibles. Follow him. And I was distributing the little blue Gideon Bibles. Well, right now, these people are church planters and leaders in our ministry. But another fun story, I'm unarmed. I'm not a fighter. And this is a stronghold. Pinestown was one of the most powerful strongholds in Liberia. But Satan knows who I am. And I show up in that town. And they have the demonic society. And the leaders and all the members of the demonic society, when I walked in that town, were overcome with terror and ran as fast as they could and hid in the bush until I left. And the reason is the enemy knows that I can cast them out, and they don't want to be cast out. And so the enemy put fear in them, and they ran and hid. Well, we got churches there now. Amen? And the demonic society is broke down. And the demonic leader, his name is Devil. And the devil's become Christian. And there's just been a great change. And so Satan was smart trying to get him out of town, but it didn't work, you know. He tried to get Jesus out of town. That didn't work either, you know. But we just show up. And the Lord has the people prepared for us.
Yeah. Amen. So what message would you have for the Western Church and maybe those who are feeling that call to the mission field?
Well, I see the idols of the Western Church. And the idols of the Western Church are just destroying the command of Christ to go into the nations. And what are the idols? Fear, retirement, career, security, entertainment, my rights, my possessions, my house. All of these things are the idols that keep us from obedience. So we have to overcome those idols. Another thing is, just show up, and the Lord's going to do something. And don't be filled with fear. We have a place for those who feel called into missions. And I've had people come and stay for 3 months, for 10 months. I've had people, one woman came and stayed for 2 years. And so if you feel like you're called, well, we would be confirming the call. We would be the boot camp. Come, spend time with us. We train you. We'll get you on a motorbike. We'll send you out.
Well, you know, I think of the story of Bruchko when, you know, the story of Bruce Olson and He got rejected by a missions agency, and God said, "Well, I didn't reject you. The missions agency did, but I didn't." He just showed up. He didn't have any plan. Yeah. He stepped out in faith, and so, you know, I think too about your story about sacrifice. You know, in Jesus, you know, John 12, and Jesus says, "Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, remains only a single seed." And so, just hearing your story, very convicting for me. Of, you know, we live in Central Florida. This is, you know, the reality. You know, you think about, you know, Florida, just kind of the, in a lot of ways, the pinnacle of the American dream of people are saving up for their retirement to move here. And, you know, John Piper's Don't Waste Your Life talks about, you know, the back cover of moving to Florida so you can collect seashells and play softball. And, and I think that, you know, he's asking the hard question, well, what are you going to say on the day of judgment? Look, Lord, here's my seashell collection. And so I think it's very convicting even for me to hear your story of, you know, surrounded by, you know, just a culture that people are taking a knee on life, you know, just killing the clock until they die. And so, you know, here are you, you know, in your 60s, you're living out, you know, your retirement in Liberia, not in Central Florida. And so I think that, you know, certainly very challenging for me of just the idols the in our culture, like you say, you know, we don't often call the vine, we usually call them success, you know, milestones of success, right? But
they're spirit stealers.
They are
spirit stealers.
And
they're
so I think, you know, David agents. Platt, you know, talks about, you know, in the subtitle of Radical, reclaiming your faith from the American dream. And so just, you know, hearing your story, very convicting for me of, you know, what are we giving our lives to? Everybody's giving their life to something, you know, amen. And, you know, so I think that, you know, your story is certainly one that's challenging to the listener of, you know, just really countercultural of, you know.
Yeah. You know, you were talking about standing before the Lord in judgment. He's going to ask us, what did you do with your money? Your time. What did you give your heart to? Amen. And we're called in John 15 to produce fruit that will last. And that's the salvation of the lost.
The word of God and the souls of men. Yeah.
And, you know, money and career and possessions, meaningless. Hmm. Meaningless. And, I'm so filled with joy and contentment and peace and fulfillment. Nobody has more than I, because I'm overflowing over here. Now, you can overflow with me, but you can't have an increase. And that comes with sacrifice. That comes with doing as you're created to do, to be in the presence of God, to be intimate relationship with God and unity with God. That's the first. And the second is to produce fruit that will last. Hmm. I want to live for the purposes of which I was and humanity was created. We got to break those mirrors and get rid of the smoke that's distracting us and making us completely worthless for the kingdom of God. Hmm. He has great plans for every one of us if we'll walk in faith. Amen.
Amen. I think that's a good place to end today, Kim.
Okay.
Again, if people want to connect with you, wordsowerliberia.com.
Yeah.
Can also look at YouTube, Wordsower Africa. Just search for that and they'll find you. So.
Yeah. And you're invited.
There you go.
Don't have
the
to
invitation's
out there. Well, and a side story here that when we found out we were going to Zwedru, Dan Candle and I, we pulled it up on Google Maps and we saw the Florida Grill.
Oh, man.
And that showed up on the Google Maps and we thought, oh, we have to go to the Florida Grill.
Yeah, that was God.
So when we got to Liberia, we found out that the Florida Grill was actually closed. But if you know Kim Smith, the Florida Grill is not necessarily closed. And so he made a few phone calls, and sure enough, middle of the week, we had a meal at the Florida Grill in the middle of our training week last June. So,
yeah, the Lord does it. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you for your sacrifice.
Kim.
Thank you for your witness. Thank you for walking in the path the Lord's called you to. And we're one team. We're the kingdom of God. Amen. And we got different callings and different skills and different gifts, but we have the same purpose.
Amen.
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 All right.
Thank you so much, Kim.
All right. God bless.
And thank you for joining us for this episode of the Mission Minded Podcast.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Mission Minded. For more information on today's topic and show notes, please visit our website, itechusa.org. Mission Minded Podcast is produced by iTech. The goal of this podcast is to inspire conversations about Great Commission participation. The views, organizations, and individuals represented, interviewed, and discussed on the podcast do not necessarily represent an official position or formal partnerships with iTech.